Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. What a blessing it has already been just being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, if you would look with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 23, we're just going to be reading two verses here, verse 23 and verse 24. And so if you would, if you're able to, go ahead and stand with me as we read the Word of God together. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. Jesus says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law: judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for just the opportunity that you made available to each one to be here, and each one that's here has taken advantage of it. Thank you for what we've already received and being in church today. And now as we have read this passage of scripture, and Lord, we have focused our attention on you and your message for us, I pray that you would just speak to us. I ask that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Jesus, and the entire chapter here, if you will, in chapter 23, is addressing the false doctrines of the scribes and the Pharisees, religious cults, if you would, during the first century. And he wanted the people to be aware of their unbiblical positions on most all issues of life. And they had developed during the silent years from the Old Testament to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is about 400 silent years of God speaking to us, of the scriptures. And that's what come out of that silence, those 400 years, is the sects. And the two main ones would have been called the scribes, which would have been supposed to have known the Old Testament scriptures. But then they took some of the Old Testament scriptures to draw in the Jews, the children of God, and then they placed within them their own messages and their own interpretations and their own applications of the Word of God. And so that's the scribes and the Pharisees during that time. So they were very influential during that day, and Jesus here is addressing them, and he calls them, he says, hypocrites. And there's other places, if you read chapter 23, he says quite a bit about revealing who they were and what they did. But mainly, they were leading opposite the principles of the Bible. And they were wrong and off on most issues of life. In verse 24, Jesus refers to them as blind guides. Verse 24, "Ye blind guides." Now, guides were to be leaders. They were guiding the people. They were there as an example, leading them, if you will. And he reveals to them as being blind. And to be a leader, you need to be able to see. Being a leader, you need to be able to know and understand truth. To be able to lead as God would have you to lead others. Matter of fact, Jesus would also address that back over, and let me read it to you. You can look at it if you want, but Matthew chapter 15 and verse 12 down to verse 14, he says this, "Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard these sayings?" They were offended because Jesus was teaching the truths, and the truths were opposite what the Pharisees had been presenting. And this is what Jesus said. Then came in verse 13, "But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." Every plant. Let them alone. They be blind leaders. Blind leaders of the blind. They're leading people that are blind, and they are blind to how they're leading. They're not leading by the biblical principles and truths. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Now, that's what he presented then, and now we find here in chapter 23, he's also presenting these truths concerning what they were doing and how they were leading people astray. Being blinded, they were straining out the gnats from their consumption. And this is the illustration. But at the same time, they were so focused on straining the gnats out of the, and it would have been the new wine, the grape juice, that would have been something that was normal for them to strain. But they were, he used this as an illustration, says they were straining the gnats from consumption, but at the same time, where they were so focused on straining after the gnats, that they were swallowing camels. Now, that would have been a proverb, if you will, something that people would have been a little bit more familiar with concerning Old Testament and even the first century Christianity here, that people were actually more concerned about the gnats than they were about the camels. It reveals a great principle for you and I to be aware of even today. They needed to be aware of it. They were blind, and this is what they were doing in their leadership. They were focusing more on the gnats, and they were completely blinded to the camels. So focused on minors that they omitted the majors. So focused on the things that had little effect on life that they lost sight of and omitted the things that really changes lives. A gnat. Ever swallowed a gnat? Just a little extra protein. They're a nuisance. If you're drinking fresh juice, especially fresh grape juice, you don't want that crunch in there. But it's not going to harm you. It just, if you've ever ridden motorcycles, especially at night, you've swallowed a lot of bigger gnats and bigger bugs than a gnat. I remember I just have to check the mirror after riding and look at my teeth because bugs all over your teeth, you know, and that's the ones that didn't make it through. Some of them made it through. If you open your mouth up when you're riding, especially at night with the lights on, they're attracted to light, and you're going to swallow bugs. And so you don't have to worry about eating afterward. You're already filled with the bugs, and that's probably good protein, amen? It's not what you want. It's a nuisance, but it's not life-changing. And they were focused on these minor issues. They were focused on these little things, these gnats. But have you ever swallowed a camel? I think it would be an impossibility, but that is the comparison here concerning swallowing a gnat, straining after a gnat. And while you're straining after a gnat, you're allowing yourself to swallow a camel. 1,000 pounds or so, which would definitely make a difference. It would kill you. 1,000 pounds versus the weight of a gnat. How much does a white gnat weigh? At least 1,000,000 times greater. Probably more than that. All too many today, and this is the lesson Jesus is trying to help them to see. They're blind, and if you follow them, you're blind yourself, and you're both going to fall into the ditch. You need to be aware of the truths, things that matter. Stop focusing your life on minor issues. Everyone has issues. Everyone has to deal with certain things, but don't stay focused on things that really don't matter, because when you're focused on the things that don't matter, the things that do matter are destroying because you're not doing the things that matter the most, a weightier matter. Focus on, all too many are focused on gnats and are blinded to camels. That's the day and age that we're living in. That's society, I believe, 21st century society. It's a message for all people today. Gnats in society. Criminal rights. Somebody breaks into your business and they have more rights than what you do. Somebody breaks into your home and they have more rights than you do. Criminals, when they decide to be a criminal, I think they lose rights. Now, we can't, I'm not saying we don't have to be aware of all people, but it's gnats compared to the people who are being affected by the criminals. And you're focused on the rights of criminals, and you're not even thinking about the rights of the people, the God-fearing people. Gun control. They want to make it a camel, but it's a gnat in comparison. It's a gnat. Focus on the guns when you ought to be focusing on the mentality of the person that is holding the gun and find out why they were raised to do what they've done. What's caused them to act the way they've acted with a gun, that's the camel. And you're focused on the guns and you're swallowing camels. Mask on children? Come on. I thought we learned enough over the last couple years to realize, don't punish the children for something that they have no control, and it really doesn't even hardly affect them, and yet we're focused on making them wear masks to go to school, wear masks when you're out in public. What? That's a gnat compared to what it's doing to the children. Save the animals. Hear this television, if you're not watching, you hear this sad noise and the talking about how that all this, and they realize it's not a human, it's a dog. It's a dog. And you're putting more emphasis on saving the abuse of dogs. And I'm not for abusing it. I'm not at all. But when you focus more on saving the abused animals and you lose sight of saving the abused children, you're straining at gnats. Save the planet. Don't get me wrong. No, I think we ought to be good stewards of all the things that God has blessed us with. But ultimately, it's God who's going to control what happens to the earth. And if you read the Bible, you read the end, it's all going to get burned up. Yeah. Save the planet, while at the same time, people need saved. People need God. People need biblical truths. That's the most important thing. And yet in society today, God is omitted from how we're educating our children. Ten Commandments have been omitted concerning educating our children. The life of Jesus Christ has been omitted from raising children. Could it be that focus on gnats when we need to be focused on camels? The much bigger picture. the thing that can definitely take your life. What are the weightier matters? That's mainly the message this morning, is what are the weightier matters? Because the same that Jesus presented then in the first century Christianity are the very same weightier matters today, because the same evil influence is behind it. The devil is the enemy. Spiritual battles are what we fight. And if he can keep humanity focused on the gnats, then he's going to present the camels that will make a difference, that will destroy lives. What are the weightier matters that we need to get back to in society, what we need to get back to individually, what we need to get back to worldwide? What are these weightier matters? In verse 23, he says this. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for that you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin." Now, the idea there of tithing on what that's important, but they were not doing it because of the law. They were doing it because they were taking in the finances of the people, and they were focused on what was going to benefit them the most. They were focusing more on the gold of the temple than the temple itself, and he reveals that to them. So this is something that needed to be addressed, and it is something that needed to be taken care of, but that was not what they needed to focus on the most. You pay tithes, and you preach that, and you present that, and have committed the weightier matters of the law. These weightier matters of the law same things that we need to be aware of. Judgment. Mercy. And faith. You wouldn't think that to be the most important, possibly. I tell you, that is the most important. The first being judgment. Because that's part of who God is. He is a just God. Justice demands judgment. It's the knowledge and awareness of judgment that leads humanity to repentance and godliness. People need to be informed of judgment. Because outside of being informed that there's consequences to your actions, there's consequences to your sin, you're going to continue to live in sin. In Acts in chapter 24, I want you to look there with me. Acts in chapter 24. In Acts chapter 24, verse 24 and verse 25. Paul before Felix here, and it says, "And after certain days, then Felix, the governor, came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish." He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment. He's presented these things to Felix, the governor. Paul understood this is what Felix, the governor, a lost man, needed to understand. And his wife was a Jew. She would have understood these things. And he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And when he heard the idea of temperance and righteousness and judgment to come, Felix trembled. A lost man, a man living in sin, focused on himself and focused on what he wanted to do. He trembled. Because judgment brings conviction. And answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Not ready to confess. I'm not ready to change my lifestyle. I'm not ready to do this. So I get away. I don't want to hear it. Because if I hear of the judgment, if I focus on judgment based upon my lifestyle, based upon how I'm living my life, then I have to change. It's the knowledge and awareness of judgment that leads to repentance, and from repentance to godliness. See, as people hear of judgment to come, conviction sets in. If you identify yourself as being lost, if you identify yourself with having sin in your life, and you have to acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner to be able to get saved, but when you acknowledge yourself as a sinner, then you realize the wages of sin is death. Whoa. Death is associated with my sin. And then you break that death and understand that that means separation from God. You cannot have a relationship with God as long as you have sin, a sin nature in your life. You have to be redeemed of that sin. You have to be forgiven of that sin. You have to be washed of that sin to be able to come into the presence of God. And so that sin identifies the judgment with you cannot have a relationship with God in this life. But then also after you die and you leave this world, that judgment is eternal damnation. Now I see myself as a sinner, and I see myself as a sinner, then the judgment of that sin is I have been separated from the world, the fellowship with God, and when I die, I'm going to go to a devil's hell. I see that as being real. That is real judgment. That is a real place. And as I associate myself with that idea of going to hell and losing out on a relationship with God, then I'm going to tremble inside because of the Holy Spirit of God is going to bring conviction. And now that I have the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I have an understanding of righteousness, understanding that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and now I've got a decision to make. You have no decision to make unless you understand judgment. You have no decision to make unless you come under conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. But when you come under the conviction, you have an opportunity to repent. Jesus came, the first message that he preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And outside of you repent, you can't have the kingdom of heaven. The John the Baptist, the first message that he came out preaching is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is revealed to you. Heaven is real. Hell is real. And in order for you to escape the damnations of hell and have eternity in heaven, you have to have repentance in your life. Repentance is understanding that you're a sinner. Have a sorrow for your sin. Because having a conviction ought to bring a sorrow. And following a sorrow for sin is confession. I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. And I'm guilty. And so if the wages of sin is death, that's my punishment. That's my judgment. Sorrow, confession leads to repentance and salvation and a changed life. A changed life keeps a person from taking a gun and shooting somebody else just because they want to shoot them. A changed life keeps a person from wanting to break into your house and take whatever you want, thinking that I deserve it. Changed life. That's what we are needing today. And yet we're focused on the gnats. Have you ever noticed once a person has been convicted of a crime and they go to sentencing, they realize that this judge is going to pass judgment. Most of the time you'll find them crying, telling the judge how sorry they are. I could go back and undo it. I would go back and undo it. And they address the family of a child that they have killed because of their own selfishness, their own sinfulness, and desire to want my way. And they look at the family and say, oh, if I could go back, I would change it. Yeah, because you're facing judgment. If you'd have been aware of that judgment beforehand, you might not have committed that crime. Crime is raging today in our 21st century because it's a lack of understanding of the judgment that follows the crime that's committed. And in most states, even now, there is no judgment. They commit the crime and they turn them right back out there, go back out. What do you expect they're going to do? Got to be judgment. There's got to be judgment. We can't omit the weightier, the most important things in society today is consequences to your actions, judgment to come. Romans in chapter 10. Let me just read this to you. Romans in chapter 10 and verse 14, it says this. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Without somebody telling them that there's judgment to come. And you're a sinner. And you're going to die and go to hell. They don't hear that, if they don't believe that, if they have no knowledge of that, how can they get saved? They will not get saved. Life and death issues for humanity based on judgment. Yeah. Judgment. The knowledge of judgment changes things. Straying at gnats, Saul and camels. We better start focusing on the weightier matters. Judgment. The second one is mercy. The knowledge of God's forgiveness of our sins changes lives. In Luke in chapter 6, Luke in chapter 6. Everybody follow me this morning. Amen. I'm telling you, we have to make sure that we are not focused on the gnats and we're losing sight of the most important things of life. Listen to me. You got to be aware of the weightier matters of life, the things that are making a difference, and stop letting the devil keep you focused on gnats. There's camels out there that you better be aware of. Yeah. Luke in chapter 6 and verse 36 and verse 37, the Bible says this, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Mercy, that's what they had omitted. Because what goes along with mercy, judge not and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive and ye shall be forgiven. Forgiveness. The presence of mercy has the potential of salvaging lives. Because once I'm aware of my sin and I understand the judgment to come, and I'm so thankful that I was told about mercy. I was told about, even though I deserve it, the withholding of deserved punishment. God, the withholding, I deserved hell, but because of God's mercy, he has paid my sin debt for me, and he offers me this forgiveness of my sins, and with forgiveness of sins, I can have this eternal life. I can have the blessings of God upon my life, no matter what I've done, no matter how guilty I've been, no matter what kind of things I've done in the past, as long as I come to the place to realize I've come under conviction, I've got a sorrow for sin, I'm looking to God, and I said, Lord God, forgive me of my sins, as long as it is following repentance, then that forgiveness is granted. And everything that I've done in the past is put under the blood. And I can have a salvaged life. Mercy salvages lives. Can I tell you that mercy will salvage marriages too? Well, you don't know what he's done. You know what she's done. I can never, listen to me. If it's God's will for you to forgive, you can forgive. Now, understanding that just forgiveness is not reinstate to everything before it was. You still have scars of sin, but you have forgiveness, and forgiveness changes things. It can change a marriage. It can change society. Not letting people out with no consequences of the sin, that's not forgiveness. No, being able to say, yes, you are forgiven of that, but you still have to face the consequences of your actions, the scars. That's justice. But because you've been forgiven, you can have a walk with God, even though you might have to have that walk with God in prison. But you can have a walk with God. Mercy. Weightier matters. Mercy is needed in society. It's needed in Christianity. It's needed in the church. If the church is going to remain strong, if the church is going to continue to do and be the refuge that God wants us to be and the light that God wants it to be, there has to be this understanding of mercy, especially within the children of God. It's the weightier matters. It's the important, life-changing matters. And the last one is faith. We must not omit the need for every person to live a life of faith. What is that, preacher? It's belief in God and in his word. That's a life of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've omitted that. In our society, you find out people that are committing these heinous crimes would not believe in God. They would not say that I'm living by faith. I'm not living according to belief in God or belief in his word. Why is there so many today that are not living by faith? Because they're listening to society. They're listening to Pharisees. They're listening to scribes. They're listening to the devil, and they're not listening to God. They're not listening to the words of God and putting their faith and trust in knowing that there is a God and knowing that there is consequences to sin and there is mercy, there is judgment. And the most important thing that I can do in my life is to live by faith. Admitted that. We must stop majoring on miners, straining at gnats, swallowing camels, staying focused on the weightier matters. In Titus in chapter 2, and I'll close with this, in Titus in chapter 2, Paul, writing to Titus, reveals the way of life, the way to live life. In Titus in chapter 2, let me read to you verse 11 down to verse 15. It says this: "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." It's available to all men. "Teaching us," and when you look to faith, you look to God, you look to the Word of God, "teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust," outside of judgment, you will not deny that. Outside of judgment, outside of mercy, you're going to do what you want to do, what feels good to you. It says, "teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live." Once you turn away from those things, you should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. If people believed that the rapture is real and it could take place any moment, I think crime would go down. If it was known today, and I could say, and the Bible doesn't have, no man knows, but I could tell the world, and they would believe that tomorrow, this is the last day on earth, tomorrow, it's going to be destroyed, and you believed it, how do you think you'd live your life? Knowing it's the last day on this world, and believing in God, believing in heaven, believing in hell, understanding judgment, I think it would be like that sentencing. You'd have the crocodile tears, and you would be confessing and forsaking, and you would say, "Oh, if I could only have forgiveness and give me heaven, I want to go to heaven, yes." But we don't have that. We don't know what a day may bring. We don't know how much longer we're going to be on this earth. But what we do know, judgment's real. Mercy and faith. So teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live, not forced, but we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us. Boy, that needs to be preached. That needs to be taught to all humanity. Who gave himself for us and he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise you. It's what the world needs. It's what I need. It's what you need. Have we omitted him? Are we so focused on gnats that we've omitted the weightier matters? Let's get back. Let's get to the place where God wants us to be. Let's focus on the weightier matters and help people with the truth. If I could have every head bowed this morning and every eye closed. Wow. If only the world, all humanity, understood, had the truth, chose the truth, followed after judgment, mercy, and faith, what a difference it would make. It might start, though, with this congregation right here, right now. Your life, your family, your church, your witness. Are we focused on the weightier matters? Father, we bow before you, and we love you, Lord, and thank you for loving us, and thank you for the message that you wanted your disciples to receive concerning these blind leaders of the blind. Help us not to be blind, but help us to see clearly and stay focused on the most important things that you would have us to focus on. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.